You are listening to episode 82 of the Mad Chatters podcast, April 20th, 2016.
Most everyone's mad here.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. My name is Derek, and I'm joined today by my fellow hosts, Matthew.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Jeremy.
Gotta catch them all.
All right, guys, so what is in the news this week? What is there to talk about?
I got an Amber Alert yesterday.
Oh, well, that's scary.
Hope so, found the time. Yeah, but Disney World news.
Right.
Well, I'll start, I guess. And that is the big thing over the weekend. Mickey and Minnie got a little cosmetic surgery, and they got a facelift. So they have a little bit of a new look. Did you all see this on the Twitterverse?
For Shanghai, right? For now.
Yeah, I assume it's going to filter to all the parks eventually.
But, I would think so.
Yeah, they look a little, I don't know how to say this without it coming across offensively, so I'm just going to say it. They look a little darker. Have you noticed that?
Okay, yeah, yeah. But okay. They're, like, I looked at them, and I could see a difference. But I could, even side by side with the old picture of what they look like now in the U.S. parks, I'm like, what is different? It took me so long. And then I realized it's the eyes.
Yes, the eyes look different.
They're taller.
They're tall. Yes, it's They're not taller. As circular, the face. It's more of an oval shape.
Yeah.
And they're a little darker. So it almost appears like somebody put they appear more cartoony now.
Yes, because I went and looked at an image from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and his eyes are skinny and tall, just like the new ones are. I like the change. I mean, it's so minute that if you didn't know, I could see where you wouldn't even notice.
Yeah, I think your more than average fan would at least notice, hey, that looks a little different.
Yeah.
But your day-to-day guest is not going to notice or care.
I'm trying my hardest to find one. I'm just going to search it.
Yeah, just search like Shanghai new Mickey Minnie.
Shanghai Mickey. I saw somebody post a little
there you go.
Cheer about it, so I'm just going to look it up.
And somebody posted like all the Mickey changes throughout the years. And boy, you talk about some scary ones back in the early days.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. They've changed so often that it shouldn't really be that surprising that now 10 years later, they're going to make another change, you know?
Of course. Yeah. You know, you got to keep up with the times.
Yep. I'm a fan. I mean, I don't hate the old way and I don't, you know, like the new way so much more or so much less that it's going to affect my day-to-day dealings with the mouse. But anyway, I thought that some good changes were made.
Oh. So,
yeah.
Do you see, Matt?
Yeah, you're right. I think it's an improvement.
Yeah.
I think they look more like they look on the cartoons.
I agree.
I would agree with that.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that. And it is a little darker.
His cheeks are chubbier too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A little less pointy.
Yeah.
Yeah, his eyes are definitely
that this is a conversation.
Vertical.
That people have is just tickling me right now, but I'm having it and I'm glad to have it.
Yep. It's a good conversation, a good change. And of course, if they ever make their way to the U.S. parks, we'll announce it here on the show. Mm-hmm. But speaking of news, let's talk about something that we announced a while back, and this was the After Hours event. I don't know if you guys saw, but they had the first one last Thursday night, the 14th. And I don't think this email was supposed to go public, but apparently they sent an email to lots of DVC members offering them free admission to the event. Now, if you'll remember, that event costs $150 mm-hmm. to be let in at 7 p.m. and then go until 3 hours after the park closes to the rest of the guests. So these people who got the email were allowed in they saved $150, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the odd thing, too, is this is the first one, so I would dare say a majority, maybe not a majority, but a lot of tickets were bought by Disney lifestylers and bloggers, meaning these people that no matter what Disney has, they're going to go to cover it. So you figure how many average guests were there? It couldn't be a lot if they were opening it up free to DVC members, because the report I read was they only let 3,000 people in, period. Which is not a lot when you think about it.
Well, this is what I heard. The reports coming in on Friday and Saturday were that it wasn't very well attended. And my first thought was, isn't that the point? Like, it's supposed to be a few number guests. But apparently, what most people heard, and this was never announced by Disney, was that 3,000 would be the number. But it looked like about 1,000 actually went that first night. So this seems to me like something that's not going to keep going.
No, it sounds like it was a major bomb. And hopefully, as we mentioned last week, this is kind of a breaking point. Because, as I said before, Disney seems to be just seeing how far they can push it and push it and push it before there's backlash. And I'm hoping that this is a level that we don't want to reach.
Yeah.
And that the backlash has begun. Because apparently it was empty. And you could walk on to any attraction. And there was roughly, 25 attractions open, I think is what I saw. And it was all the highlights, you know, nothing that you wouldn't expect to be open. But, again, $150 for 3 hours.
Well, now, look, I saw a brochure from that night. Or maybe it's just a little... Actually, there was like a little lanyard, like a little conference thing almost. Name tag sort of thing with the lanyard around it they gave people that had on the back of it a list of all the attractions that were open. And it was a lot more than like from the old E-Ride nights. I mean, it was like all of Adventureland, including the Tiki Room and Country Bear Jamboree and Carousel of Progress. It looked like everything, even the Swiss Family Treehouse was open. So I can't think of anything that was closed. Maybe Storybook Circus, I don't remember looking at it, but
yeah,
a lot of stuff was open.
Yeah, someone tweeted, I guess they had interviewed a few people afterwards, and they said, guests seem to have a good time. Well, duh. I mean, yeah. Either they got in free, or they knew right when they announced it that they were going to pay the $150, and then a third of the number of guests that they thought would be there ended up being there. So, of course.
One blogger made a lot of sense in that this would be perfect for someone who has one day. You know, they're coming down for a conference or a trip or something, they want to go to Disney World. This is perfect for them because really it's $50 more than a one-day ticket, or even that much. I don't know with all this seasonal pricing now. It could be just a minimal increase for a one-day ticket. And they're guaranteed to get to do everything they want to do.
It's true.
So, and, you know, whatever, free ice cream and free bottled drinks. I don't know what that entails. If it was like little ice cream cups with a wooden spoon or
no,
whatnot.
Someone said they had 7 Mickey ice cream sandwiches.
Wow.
So, I mean, it seems to be unlimited.
If you could eat your $150 worth of ice cream, yeah. Then...
If they make Dole Whips and Citrus Swirls free, that would be in business.
You wish. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Just ice cream sandwiches and water or something. I don't know. But
I think Derek tweeted something to the effect of, if they allowed like a 5-minute supermarket sweep run through the Emporium, it might be worth the price. I would agree. I think that would be totally
right?
Worth the $150.
Now, you said that you thought it was going down, but I read today that several have been sold out.
I don't know. I mean, does that include the free ones they gave away? You know, I mean, Disney, of course, is going to say it's sold out.
My fear is that they're going to get to 3,000, if anything, and then keep bumping it up like they've done for the parties.
Yeah.
And so where it's just like, it's no different than like extra magic hours.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, part of me says if they keep going, or if they do decide to stop it, they're going to have to make that money somewhere else. And that's when we start getting charged for things we don't want to be charged for. But who knows? I don't run Disney. I don't know how they're going to do things, but...
Wait. You don't run Disney?
It's crazy. I know.
Oh.
But I had to drop that truth bomb on you. Sorry.
We're just the little people.
One more news thing I wanted to talk about real quick was these two signs in Disney Springs that people took pictures of like a month ago maybe. And it shows two restaurants. One is B.B. Wolf's Sausage Company.
Yeah, I saw that.
And there's a picture of Big Bad Wolf with like a pitchfork about to stab someone.
Oh, dear Lord. Yeah. What? I have not seen this.
And the other one says Arista Crepes.
I saw that too.
And it's got like three very minimalist pictures of cats.
Yeah.
Well, when I saw, and they both said coming soon. I mean, for a month now, like people were tweeting, oh, I can't wait for these restaurants. And I'm like, you people are crazy. These are not, like, these are jokes. Disney is not going to make a restaurant called B.B. Wolf's Sausage Company where you kill pigs and eat, I'm assuming pork. Anyway, okay, I saw a picture today. I think it was mousesteps.com who pictured it or who posted it. And behind the sign, there actually is a building now with signage on the building that says B.B. Wolf. So these are
in fact... I saw both of these carts when we were at Disney Springs a few weeks ago. They're like, not carts, they're like...
kiosks?
Like the little freestanding kiosks out on the bridge, and then another one is right as you're turning to go into towards the steamboat, whatever that place is, Fulton's Crab House.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was nice. I looked at it, I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. They're going to have these little carts kind of minimally themed to Disney characters.
Exactly. I mean, I love it. I'm just shocked that Disney is like... Yeah, you can eat the three little pigs.
I was gonna say that does not seem like a good idea to me. Three little pig themed cart where you're eating the sausage. No.
Yep.
That's what the sausage is. It's pig.
Yeah, but you don't have the heroes of your story become your dinner. That's.
It's like come meet all your favorite animals in Home on the Range. You know.
It's
like have a venison cart themed to Bambi's mother. I mean, that's just weird.
Okay, hold on. If we're talking about the same sign, I don't picture this as him with a fork about to stab someone. It looks like he's standing on a weather vane that's shaped like a fork.
You're right. I didn't realize that.
He's huffing and puffing. I mean, still, it's kind of there that the wolf gets the pig and that's the sausage, but I think it's that's not people. If that's offensive to people, they need to go live in Canada.
No, I don't think it's offensive. I'm just surprised that, like, for kids' sake, that Disney would just be like, yep, he's eating pigs that you know and love from your childhood story.
Well, that's something I would love explaining to my child.
You would. Yeah. You would. Take a big bite. Okay, now I'm going to tell you what you just ate.
Be like, this sausage is tough.
They didn't tell you.
That was the little pig that built his house out of bricks. That's why it's tough.
What they didn't tell you is that at the end of the story, Big Bad Wolf discovers jackhammers. Wrecking balls. Forget this huffing and puffing stuff. Let me go down and rent me a wrecking ball.
To kick off this episode, we're going to do a segment that we haven't done in a while, but I think it's time for a comeback, and we're going to do a resort roundup.
Resort roundup. Talking about hotels.
Matt, what resort are we talking about this week?
This week we'll be talking about the Pop Century Resort. It's a value-level resort that was built sometime after the All-Star movie. I don't know exactly when it opened. Early 2000s, I think. Obviously, that makes sense. And it's themed, as you can tell, it's themed toward the latter half of the 20th century, if I remember correctly. It starts in the 50s, right? 50s, 60s, 70s, and it ends in the 80s. No, there is 90s.
Yeah, there's 90s.
There is 90s. So it's the last 50 years of the 20th century. And this was originally planned to be a very large resort encompassing the whole 20th century, but the other half of the resort that would have become that is now what we know as the Art of Animation Resort. So, but no loss there. I mean, how... A building themed to the teens would have been rather boring, I'm afraid. Yeah.
The 20s might have had like Oswald or something, though.
Oh, Oswald. So, yeah, the theming is it's all very all-star like. If you can imagine the value resort, very oversized images and icons from the different eras. So big bowling pins and bowling balls for the 50s. And something I do find odd about the theme is they think that they. I don't notice this at the All-Stars, but part of the theming and the decorating is they have just, like, taken phrases or words or, like, hairstyles. Like, just the word itself is the icon and put it on top of the building. So you'll see, like, doo-wop. And then, like, the one we stayed in, I think it was the 50s, and it said, beehive hairstyle. Like, that was one of the phrases at the top of a building. I was like, eh, it little more thought could have been put into that.
But. Yeah, because we stayed in the 80s building, and I know To the Max.
That's great.
Was written up there. I think they're just like catchphrases from that
I can
time.
Understand catchphrases, but it was like the, like, remember the beehive hairstyle that was put up there like that. But I enjoyed the resort, and I've only stayed here once, and it was for two nights back in the fall. If you remember when Jeremy and I attempted to go to Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party and the story about him breaking down and all that, I had booked a room that night. We were going to stay there. We
My
stayed
car,
there
any- not personally.
Yeah. Oh, yes. You know, have an emotional breakdown. We did after we couldn't go to the Halloween party. Then we had our breakdown. But
yes.
We solved all that at Jack Lindsay's hangar bar. Jock Lindsay's hangar bar. Anyway, we stayed at the 50s, I believe, and it was very close to the front. I mean, it's very comparable to the value resorts. To me, it felt a little nicer.
It is a value resort.
I mean, let me rephrase it. It felt comparable to the All-Star resorts. That's
I'm with you.
It felt very, very, very similar. And there are a lot of similarities. But to me, it felt a little cleaner, a little crisper, a little...
It's newer.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt a little nicer. The rooms were same size, very small rooms compared. And the theming is what it is, over the top. Cheesy kind of stuff, but I think I would stay here again. And it's the bus service that I experienced was terrific, which is what everybody talks about with this resort, is that unlike the All-Star resorts where you have three stops for the three different resorts on every bus route, this is by itself as one bus stop, and that could be a big plus. I enjoyed the food court. I ate there for dinner one night and had their sushi. It was terrific for being like value resort food court sushi, and I had breakfast there the next morning, which was just like pastry and yogurt and some orange juice, but it was overall good. And I swam in the pool. The pool was nice.
They have three pools.
Yeah, it was the bowling pin shaped pool, I think. Yeah,
we staying in the 80s building. We were by, this makes me laugh, we were by the computer pool. Now, if you know what computers look like, it was just a big rectangle. But they kept calling it the computer pool to make you feel like you're in a computer.
Mm.
And then there's the hippy dippy pool by all the 60s stuff right behind the main building.
My favorite thing about staying at this resort, and this is not possible anymore, but I forget who I was with, because I thought I was with you guys, but apparently I wasn't, since Matt has only stayed there once. And anyways, back before Art of Animation opened, the buildings across the waterway was abandoned, and so it was really kind of creepy looking out across that bridge. And the bridge, actually, you could walk out on it, and then just halfway through, it was blocked off. And so I remember one night walking out there and being out there by myself, and you got this like really eerie kind of feel. And as I stood out there, I was like, "Man, I would love to go explore those buildings over there just to see what they look like inside." And of course, now it's opened in an actual resort, and you can go over there. But at the time, it was really kind of a cool experience.
I wish there was concept art for the 20s through the 40s. I just wonder what they had in mind, you know?
Well, I'm sure the Roaring 20s, you know, the Charleston and all that kind of thing.
It would have said Charleston on top of the building.
Flappers.
Flappers, yeah.
Yeah, but you can't have a giant flapper as an icon.
No, just the word.
Yeah, yeah, like beehive hairstyle.
Yeah. New Deal.
I'm just curious about the I'm just curious about the icons they had. Yeah, depression.
Yeah. Maybe that's why they avoided the 30s.
Maybe so. Well, let's talk about the food courts for a second, because the except for the All-Stars, the other two value resorts have really stepped up their game with the food courts. Like the Art of Animation food court gets rave reviews. Mm-hmm. And this one just got redone. It's called Everything Pop. Which doesn't really make sense to me, but that's okay. It got completely redone like a year ago, probably when Art of Animation came out so strong, it redid things. And I saw that they, one of their things is, you know, they have the different stations, like all of the value resorts. And one of their stations is now Gourmet Burgers. And so there's one with lump crab meat on it. There's one with a fried egg on it. The Southwestern one has, of course, guacamole, pico de gallo, stuff like that. There's one with raspberry chutney, which I thought was very interesting. And then the Picnic Burger has a grilled hot dog cut in half, put on top of the burger with sauerkraut. So I thought those were, I mean, you know, trying to do something interesting at least.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And the one thing we've talked about on the show before is, since it's everything Pop, several of their menu items have Pop-Tarts. Mm-hmm. So you can get the Pop-Tart Sundae, which has ice cream, your normal toppings, and then two whole strawberry Pop-Tarts stuck down into it. And then our personal favorite, the Pop-Tart Breakfast Sandwich, which has egg, bacon, and cheese on two strawberry Pop-Tarts.
That's about as subtle as the Beehive hairdo wording theme.
Well, I'm surprised they haven't put a burger in between two Pop-Tarts, to be honest with you.
Subtlety is not exactly what you think when you think of value resorts at Walt Disney World.
No, it is funny that they strive so hard to make their food courts, at least the Pop and Art of Animation, decent. And with very unique offerings, they don't even do that for the moderate resorts.
That's true. And food aside, it looks awesome. Like, it's so much fun, I think. Yeah. Like, some people might think it's maybe over the top and tacky, but I think it's great.
Yeah.
And the two desserts that I always hear about from this food court are the tie-dyed cheesecake, which looks like a very colorful, multicolored cheesecake on top of a red velvet cake crust. And then the King Cupcake, which they released like 2 years ago, and I thought for sure would be limited time, but it's still there. And it's filled with banana custard and topped with whipped peanut butter icing. And then there's
that sounds good.
Candied bacon on top to, you know, honor the King Elvis Presley.
The King himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm a moderate guy. politically and otherwise. I enjoy the moderate resorts at Disney World. I've only stayed at one deluxe resort, and it was the Contemporary, and we've reviewed that in a resort roundup before, I think, or I've talked about it at least. So I love some moderates, even compared to that stay at the Contemporary. But, you know, if you're coming to Disney World, I'm kind of in that mode where when I go now, if I ever go again and stay, I enjoy staying on property. And people should not shirk away from the value resorts. If you want a nice value resort option, good bus service, good food, relatively decent theming, still got the Disney magic and the resort touch, then Pop Century, I think, is a great one.
I'm glad you said that, because we kind of have we've gotten kind of a snobby reputation because we look down on the value resorts on this show. And just because they're not necessarily for us, or because we prefer the moderate resorts, there's a wide genre of people or demographic that would love these. Like, I think as a kid, I would have loved running around and seeing the giant foosball players and the giant twister board and things like that. I really think Disney does the value resorts perfectly for what they need to be. I don't know if that made sense, but
hey, look, if I didn't like them, I mean, when I went in fall, they just had a good deal going on for Pop, and I wasn't snobby about it. I'm like, I'm going to stay there. It was like $120 a night, and that was a deal, you know, compared to most of the pricing most of the times. So I jumped on it, and I wasn't like, oh, I hate to stay here. I was excited about going, and I enjoyed my stay.
Yeah, and this one books up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Compared to the other values, so be aware of that before you go. But there you go. We rounded it up. Before we get to our main segment today, we're going to tell a few stories that made us ask, did that just happen?
Curiouser and curiouser.
So who wants to go first?
I'll go first. And this is a... it was a concerning moment that made my heart kind of skip a beat. And just one of those moments when you don't quite understand what's happening, and your emotions are conflicted somewhere between being really, really angry and just laughing at someone. And this was at Walt Disney World Magic Kingdom in June of last year. I took two of our young people from our youth group here up for half a day, and we might have been. Or may not have been abusing the baby swap system. And, well, that's beside the point. We went through the fast pass line and got through the end of it. And where you turn in your lanyard on Big Thunder Mountain to receive your baby swap pass, it's at what used to be the second fast pass checkpoint place, which those no longer exist. but it was at the second checkpoint where you usually have to scan your fast pass again for the guy. Well, the guy doing it, you're supposed to hand him your lanyard, he hands you the baby swap pass. He wasn't paying attention. He was just letting the fast pass line kind of go, and his back was turned facing the standby people, kind of talking to someone. And I needed to exchange my lanyard for my pass. So I very politely, with two fingers, tapped him on his shoulder and said, "Sir." And you would have thought I stuck like a hot poker to his side, the way he turned around and gasped and threw his hands up. And he said, "Excuse me." And I said, "I have this. Can I have my pass?" And he gave it to me. And then he proceeded to lecture me. Next time, never, ever, ever, ever poke a cast member.
What?
And I was like, oh. And that's what I'm talking about. I was at once I was like, are you kidding me? But then I was wanting to laugh at him, and I just took my pass and went on, and it was fine. But the kids with me got a kick out of it. But I was like, seriously, and maybe he has some kind of like phobia or some kind of problem, social anxiety, agoraphobia, which why you would be working at Walt Disney World, why they'd let you work with people, I don't know. But
pokophobia.
It was really over the top. I could understand if I had like rattled him or like pulled on his satchel pulled on his hat, his clothing, if I was rough in some way, but I was very intentional about using multiple fingers, two fingers, to gently tap on the shoulder like, "Sir," you know.
Uh-huh.
And
so you didn't like get him in that tickle spot right under your ribs? No. Like
no, it was no tickling involved in this. There's an episode of Frasier where he's getting sued by a guy for being he kicked a guy out of the coffee house for being rude, and the guy's gonna sue him. So Frasier and Niles, his brother, plot this countersuit thing where they go confront the guy. Frasier apologizes to the man. He gets Niles to kind of wind him up and gets the guy to kind of poke Niles in the chest. And when he barely pokes Niles in the chest, Niles goes crazy all over the coffee shop, knocking things over and knocking tables over, and falls on the ground. And he says, "Countersuit." And that's what it made me think of. Like, I knew this barely tapped you. And he was like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." And then the lecture that ensued.
Right.
I think our next t-shirts ought to say, "Do not poke the cast members."
All day long. All day long. That was the thing with me and the others was, try not to poke the cast members.
Well, that segues nicely into my story, because I also was scolded at a Disney park. And you guys, if you know my personality at all, you know that I still think about this all the time with shame that I was scolded. And, so we were in Disneyland, Jeremy and I. And if you are a Disneyland regular and you have been to Disneyland Park on a Friday night when both Paint the Night and Fantasmic are going, you know it is insane. And I remember we tried to walk through New Orleans Square and it's one way. So I had to walk this giant circle, like shuffling. You know how you shuffle when there's a big crowd, and it took forever just to get to a spot that was like 10 feet to my left. Anyway, so we're walking from Tomorrowland to get a spot, I think, for the parade. And Jeremy's walking in front of me, and he's going really quickly because we're trying to get there, but there are just a lot of people around. And we're up on the sidewalk, and he steps down into, like, the little fake street off of the curb. Well, about that time, a guy in a scooter comes up kind of to my left, and so I kind of hurry to get where Jeremy was because I don't want to lose Jeremy. So I step off too onto the street, kind of right in front of the scooter, and I don't know why it is, but it stuck out my hand to like stop.
Oh no.
To the guy, kind of like, "Oh, please don't run over me." But I don't, like, I could have just waited. Anyway, I jumped out, and he says, the guy in the scooter, "That was foolish." And I was so embarrassed, and I didn't want to argue because he was right. Like, I don't know why. Because he was going almost full speed. And so I'm lucky that he stopped right when I jumped out in front of him. But I was so
that
shaken.
That's not like a threat to me.
It was like, it was rude the way he said it.
That was foolish.
That was and he said it like very harshly. And I wanted to like cry a little bit. Not really. But I was embarrassed. And I was kind of shaken for the next 30 minutes.
I would have been scared.
I was shaken up.
Like, you know, that would have been, you know, if he would have said that was rude, that's like, you know, done. But that was foolish. you know, as in, that was foolish of you. Like, you shouldn't have crossed me.
Yeah.
Did you tell me about this? I do not remember this
at all. Yeah, I mean, it took me a long time to finally catch up to you, because you were going fast, and I didn't want to lose you. But then once we got Main Street, I remember saying to you, like, that guy just said that was foolish. And you laughed, and we thought it was funny, but I was also like, oh my gosh, he's going to come find me and kill me. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
first off, he's in a scooter. I doubt he can really do much damage.
Okay? Well, he had a family with him. I'm just saying.
All you got to do is go up a couple steps, and you're out of his range.
So. He might have been like a battle hardened warrior. That's why he's in the.
It could have been. He was young, and he looked like 35, maybe.
All he's got to do is like pop your neck, like poke you in the right place, and you just die.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but I was like, I still think about that all the time. I just. Cut off a scooter and he could have easily run over me.
For shame.
What a strange story. Anyways, my story was something Derek reminded us of this afternoon, and that was a time that, was this our second trip? I think it was our second trip. You know, the Disney parks are a wonderful place, and but it's human nature that we all have low moments. And so we were on the bus leaving, at the time, Downtown Disney, now, of course, Disney Springs. And at the time as well, it had three stops. You had the Marketplace stop, Pleasure Island stop, and West Side stop. And so we waited. I forget what resort we were even at. I guess...
probably All-Star Music.
Yeah, I think it was that second trip when we stayed there. Anyway, so I just remember we waited a long time for a bus. At the Marketplace.
Yeah.
And so when the bus finally came, it loaded up quickly. Like, it was packed. And so we started to go. And I thought, surely we're not going to stop at the other places because there's literally no room on this bus. But I guess it's procedure. They have to go there in case maybe somebody was going from Marketplace and wanted to get off at Pleasure Island or whatever. So we pull into the Pleasure Island stop. The doors open. And there's... nobody gets off. And this woman wants to get on. And the driver tells her, I'm sorry, there's no room. There'll be another bus soon. And she lost her mind. I mean, she started yelling and hollering, there's room in the back! Wah, 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 wah. And so she...
cursing.
Yeah.
And she had her child with her.
We all were shocked. Like, everybody on the bus was like, really? We're hot. We're cramped. There's no room. Well, somehow, Miss Thang gets her children and crams her way onto the bus. And then the best part was, as we're pulling away, literally an all-star bus pulls up right behind us that is empty. I mean, like, not a soul on it. And I was like, see, woman, you could have had that bus all to yourself, and now you get to stand because no one's giving up their seat.
All you could do is just feel pity for the, like, 5-year-old child that was with her.
Exactly.
Like, I'm sorry, your life is going to really, really suck.
Because I don't think we're playing up how long we just let her yell. Like, she went on and on, like, you will let me on this bus. I'm not waiting here any longer. And it was like, lady, you need to calm down.
Yeah.
Am I making this part of the story up? Because it's been so long, I honestly can't remember the details. Didn't she get off and people clapped?
Yeah.
I feel like that happened. Like, she got off at the next stop.
Was involved.
There was definitely applause at some point. She was the worst. And yeah, that poor child, she was like, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, All-Star Resorts.
On this week's show, we're going to take a little bit of time to talk about something that we really haven't addressed on this show, and that is the many forms of transportation you can find at the Vacation Kingdom of the World, that is Walt Disney World. This is something that I love, but I think it's also something I take for granted because I see a lot of people from Disneyland who are there a lot, who when they come to Walt Disney World, rave about the many forms of transportation you can take. Whereas when Jeremy and I went to Disneyland, we raved about the fact that you could walk from park to park and it wasn't a big deal. I think it's just one of those things maybe you learn to take for granted after a period of time. But we want to talk about those things, and I think there are a few reasons. One is for people who maybe are going to Disney World soon for the very first time. We can give you some tips of ways you can take advantage of the many forms of transportation. And another reason is just because we're a Disney podcast and we want to talk about it, and we can give some of the pros and cons for each form of transportation, as well as any tips that we might want to offer if you are taking these forms of transportation. Now, to qualify as a form of transportation, we're talking about things that take you from one place to another. So, for instance, the People Mover, which we all know and love, does not count because it brings you right back where you started. But we're going to start outside the parks and then kind of move our way inward. And so I think first we need to bring up the Disney Magical Express. Now, my question to you guys, have either of you actually taken advantage of this?
Yes, twice.
Okay, good. We've got some experts then. So this is the bus, the free form of transportation that takes you either from the airport to a Disney resort or from a Disney resort back to the airport. So one of you explain kind of the process that happens.
Well, when you make your Walt Disney World Resort reservation, you have the opportunity to book a flight through using the actual Disney World system. But even if you don't, you know, you can book a flight however you like to and go back into your reservation online or call, and you just simply link your flight to your reservation. And all that does is it verifies that you do have a flight coming in, you're staying at a Disney resort, and they provide free shuttle transportation from the Orlando airport to your Walt Disney World Resort hotel. And there is some, you know, just a little bit more linkage that's involved linking your thing, but then you have to actually go to the Magical Express counter once you get to the bottom level of the airport. Show them all your printed off passes and things, and then they give you a pass to the Magical Express. And if all of this is taken care of before, like you've already linked it, you've already got it good to go, it's already part of your reservation before you fly, they take your luggage for you and immediately send it to your hotel, which is great if you're a trusting person. It worked both times for me that I did it. So you don't have to worry about picking up your luggage. You just go down, get your Magical Express pass, get on your bus to your resort, and you go, and your luggage is delivered for you. So that's, in a nutshell, what the Magical Express is.
Yeah. So what are your favorite things about it, if we're talking pros?
Well, if you're traveling and you're coming down on a flight, you don't have to worry about a taxi or renting a car or driving. You just hop on a bus and you go, and they do the driving for you. You don't have to worry about going to baggage claim. You just go right down there and get it. It's just easy and convenient. And there are some pros for Disney as well, keeping you on property and whatnot, that you don't have your own car. So there's some things they're getting out of it, but they're also providing a great service for you too.
Don't they show like Disney movies? I think I've seen that.
Oh, that is one of the greatest pros. They don't show Disney movies. They show a little intro to Walt Disney World and like checking in and getting settled in your resort and all the things you can do. You know, it's like a little promo while you're on the bus. But it features like actual dressed up characters like going to the resort and checking in and all. And that it's Scrooge and his three nephews like character form, not the cartoon, like character form. And they're going like to the Grand Floridian and checking in, and it shows them like getting in the pool and they're in their rooms putting their luggage up and all this stuff. It's fun little classic kind of Disney. And they take you through all the parks and tell you all the things there are to do, but
they need to sell that on DVD. I'd buy that.
You can probably find it on YouTube.
Yeah, probably so. This is something I'm gonna use for the first time on my upcoming trip. And I'm gonna opt not to use the baggage claim service because I've heard that it can take at least 3 hours for it to arrive after you do. And I just kind of like knowing where it is at all times. So for those who are like me, you do have the option of not attaching the bright yellow luggage tag to your bag and then just taking it with you to the bus.
Yeah. When you get to the bus, they give you an opportunity to throw it under there.
Yeah.
And take it with you if you want.
So that's what I'm going to do.
Now, two different experiences I've had with it were two very different experiences. The first time was, I think, when I was coming down to meet you all in 2012. And I flew down. Yeah, well, that was the first time. It was very crowded. I think that for some reason, did I remember flying down on a Monday for that trip? I think so. And It was very crowded, very busy. The line, every single line for every single bus for the Magical Express was backed up. I mean, it was kind of miserable. It's in the kind of the bottom level of the airport. It was kind of hot, kind of muggy. Lots and lots of people in line. And they have different lines for the different resorts. So it's not like everybody's in one line waiting on a bus, which could make it longer, could make it shorter. But it was a very long wait that day. I remember I landed early, and I told you all, hey, I landed early. I'm going ahead to the resort. But by the time I had to do all that and waited in line and did all that, y'all were already...
I remember this. Yes, we were at Caribbean Beach.
It took so long.
I remember that. Well, gosh, yeah. Now you're making me nervous.
No, now look, the second time I did it, I think we flew down on a Wednesday, Thursday, some a non-typical arrival time for Disney people. You know, not at the beginning of the week, not at the end of the week. And it was nothing. I mean, I went down with a group of guys from a church in Kentucky. We were coming down for a conference, staying at the Contemporary Resort, and it was easy peasy. We got on the bus, and we were on our way, and it was fine. Now, the drive from the airport to Walt Disney World is 45 minutes. It's a lengthy trip, more lengthy than I think you think it's going to be, but it's all right.
All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to transportation that will take you around Walt Disney World Resort once you are at your hotel. And I think first we need to start with the famous Disney bus. So when you think of pros for the Disney bus, what comes to mind?
Don't have to pay for parking.
Yeah, which is now $20.
Yeah. Of course, here's the thing. If you're a Disney resort guest, you don't have to pay for parking.
Right.
And then if you're a pass holder, you don't have to pay for parking. So, or one of the top level pass holders, you don't have to pay for parking. So, you know, whether that's a pro or not, I don't really know.
That is true. That even as a resort guest, you don't have to pay for parking. I guess the convenience of the bus is it is nice at the end of the day when you're tired. Mm-hmm. You just get on that bus and let your mind just fade.
Yeah. The one place it's absolutely essential. Like, I would pay money to use the bus, is going to the Magic Kingdom. Now, if you're going to the Magic Kingdom for the first time, I will always argue for the primacy of the ferry boat, which we'll talk about in a minute. But after that, especially when you're leaving, it is like a nightmare to just be at the end of a long day at the Magic Kingdom. You had a great time, but the crowds are getting to you. Everybody's trying to get out. You're hot. You're tired. And then you realize you have to get on a monorail or a ferry boat to get back to the place. Then you have to take a tram or walk to your car. So when you stay out at a resort at Disney World and you take the bus, they take you right to the front of the Magic Kingdom. No crossing the lagoon via monorail or ferry. You just get right in the park.
I mean, even the other parks, it's nice to be dropped off right there at the entrance rather than parking a mile away.
Living here and driving up every time we go... It's nothing at Epcot Studios or that sound like one park. It's nothing like Epcot Hollywood Studios or Animal Kingdom. I mean, that's like a breeze compared to the Magic Kingdom system.
I have come to love the Disney buses. I think there are some people who are like, ugh, the buses. But we've just used them so often that it's like, I don't know, it's like my comfort zone to get on one of those buses and just let them take me away.
That's what I was going to say when you asked about pros. Like, number one pro for me is just pure, absolute pure nostalgia.
Yeah.
Like, when this is I'm in a Disney bus with their stupid little advertisements for ABC and Disney Channel shows.
That voice, like, I can hear it now, that guy's voice, whoever he is.
When he's like, sit back, relax, we'll take you home, or whatever it is he says.
Well, and I think when we went our first time, or was it the second time, they had just started doing the music. Like when you're about ready to be at Epcot, you know, the little Imagination song will come on, and he starts talking about, welcome to Epcot, or whatever. That's only been there for maybe less than 10 years, but that's a great little addition. When you pull up to the Magic Kingdom, it's that old classic marching band version of the Mickey Mouse March that plays. Yes. And it just gets you ready to go into the park. And in between, they play themed music to where you're going. So if you're going to the Caribbean Beach Resort, they're playing steel drums and Jimmy Buffett. Or if you're going to Port Orleans, it's like blues and Delta music. But that's all great stuff that goes with the buses.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what cons have you found while riding the buses? And I know the first thing I thought of was our most recent trip when the when the bus hit a big bump.
Oh my god!
I swear my head almost hit the ceiling.
My head did hit the ceiling. I swear it did.
I was 100% off of that seat.
He hit that bump so hard that we came, everybody, and I was like, "Oh my word!"
Did that like, happen?
How we didn't break our tailbones is beyond me, because we were in the very back, and so we definitely felt the full force of that speed bump, like, and like he did not care. That bus driver just kept on going.
Sorry, whatever. Which, speaking of bus drivers, they can make or break a bus trip if they are unpleasant and yelling at you about packing when it's crazy crowded and you're packing the bus full. If they're rude about it, it gets on everybody's nerves, you know. We can't move any further, you know, and all that stuff. But if you got one that's being happy and, hey, princess, and not that he says that to me, but
it's like, if a bus driver says that to me, I'm gone.
Welcome. Hey, welcome aboard or whatever. And they're really pleasant and happy. And then even when they tell you, sorry, guys, we got to scoot back a little bit or whatever, that, you know, the attitude of the bus driver. And sometimes they have a little fun. Sometimes they can have a little too much fun, you know, on the intercom thing. And you're like, okay, haha, shut up. But sometimes a good little entertainment can go a long way, proving everybody's attitude.
Here's another con to the buses. And this is going to come across insensitive, but let me preference it by saying,
this is the con to the bus. I know what you're going to say.
I am in the medical field. I understand people have physical limitations. I am empathetic to people's needs and to people's disabilities. Yes. I genuinely am. But this has always, always bothered me. And that is, when you are lined up for a bus,
mm-hmm.
you might be standing there for 20, 30 minutes. Somebody in a wheelchair or a scooter rolls up. And I'm empathetic. I'm not saying they don't need a wheelchair. I do think a lot of the people that take advantage of the scooters at Walt Disney World in particular probably wouldn't need a scooter if they walked a little more. I'm just throwing that out there. But I understand that it's not always that way. But it bothers me how any scooter or wheelchair automatically gets on first. And it's like, listen, they need to wait just as long as everybody else waits.
Yes, I think so too.
Because if you get, all of a sudden you get two scooters on a bus, half the bus is taking up space.
Because their family gets on with them.
Family gets on with them.
And it takes 30 minutes to lower the dadgum thing to get them on there. And it's really bad when you're in that state because when you're at the end of a long, hot day at the park and you're just trying to get home and you've waited for a bus with the crowd, the fruits of the spirit are not exactly being cultivated. Actually, they kind of are, I guess, but they're not being evident at this point. And so when you see, oh crap, they're lowering the bus, the driver's getting out and going to that back door, everybody, I don't care how holy you think you are, everybody's like, oh! And then it just inevitably, when the person that's in the wheelchair gets up and walks on the bus, it's one of those things with when you just lose all your sense of reason and you're like, ah! Because you know, I mean, in your heart of hearts, you know that the disability doesn't mean that they cannot walk some or they can stand it, not long periods of time. But in that moment, you know, all of our faculties aren't working as they should and people respond negatively. And it just makes for a very unpleasant experience.
Absolutely. I think they ought to wait in the normal line with everybody else. And then if there's room, there's room. And if not, then they wait for the next bus and they get on first that one. You know, I mean, it's just, it drives you crazy.
I think for Disney's side, though, it puts them in an uncomfortable situation of having to, dare I use the word, discriminate between different kinds of handicap, like, you know, you really should be let on first, and then to somebody that's not, you can't be let on first. I guess it's just, you know what, we might as well just let them all on first.
Yeah, what you're saying is those who are genuinely handicapped and those who are just genuinely fat. I understand what you're saying.
Which itself can be part of a handicap.
Okay, well, I'm going to move on this conversation and say my first thought when I thought of cons was sometimes there are longer waits than other times. And I'm thinking like the value resorts at night have a long wait. But also trying to get from park to park, there are not a lot of buses on that loop.
That's true.
And you sometimes wait a very long time. But looking back on our previous trips, the longest we had to wait was either Blizzard Beach or I think it was Typhoon Lagoon.
Yeah.
We waited at that stop at least 45 minutes. And then I think we walked to the front and we're like, can you call someone? Because I don't think a bus is coming. Like, this is ridiculous.
Get a bus here? And they always tell you one's on the way.
Of course.
Oh, let's just talk about the spotty wait times. I mean, that's nothing they can really do about that except improve their system. And as much as people, complain about the system, it's hard for me to think that Disney honestly doesn't care and is not trying to do their best to improve the system. I'm just saying, I might be naive in thinking that Disney cares. Maybe they don't, but I think they probably do, and they're trying their best to make it work for everybody.
My favorite is when you're at the bus stop waiting for Animal Kingdom, and you're like, oh, there's a Magic Kingdom. Oh, there's another Magic Kingdom. What? Oh, there's another Magic Kingdom. What in the world?
Yeah, it always happens too. Now, let's just talk about the cons as far as just like stupid people goes. And this is when the Magic Kingdom bus comes up and people go up to the driver and say, are you going to Magic Kingdom? It's like, no. And I've heard one bus driver be like, no, I'm going to Epcot. And the people were really like, oh. And he's like, no, I'm going to Magic Kingdom. Get on the bus. People can be like that. Like the lady earlier, that's complaining about her bus situation. A lot of that depends on the people around you.
Are you going to SeaWorld?
Yeah.
That's my favorite. No, I haven't heard that one, but I wouldn't be surprised if they haven't gotten asked that a few times. Or if they have gotten asked that, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, people ask, like, the resort buses if they're going to different resorts. Like, it says All-Star. Are you also going to Pop Century? Like, no. No,
that's just hitting them all. Yep.
Yeah. We're just going to take you wherever you want to go. Now, look. Listen, it does pay off if it's in the middle of the afternoon, if you're like we were at the water park or something, and you are the only person on that bus. If you see an empty bus come up, there have been several times when I have gone up to a bus driver in a completely empty bus it has to be an off period during the day, and you ask them if they're going somewhere or if they know when the bus will be here for such and such. I've had several times where the bus driver says, you're going to where? I can do that.
Yeah.
And they'll let you on and they'll page somebody and tell them I'm taking this to this, switch this or whatever. Several times that's happened to me.
While we're talking about buses, I want to bring up something that I saw a couple months ago, how some of the deluxe resorts were testing this thing. They have screens now at a lot of the resort bus stops that says, like, the ETA of when, like, okay, a Magic Kingdom is coming in 8 minutes, an Animal Kingdom is coming in 10 minutes. That's wonderful, and I think they should put that at all the resorts, resort-wide. And I also think this is something that should be in the app. I don't know how they could do it, but I feel like if I were in my room and I was like, guys, one's coming in 10 minutes, come on. Or if it's like, take your time, one's not coming for 20 minutes.
All they need is the same information feed that's going to those screens going to the app.
I mean, exactly.
Exactly.
And I almost, like, maybe in the distant future, there will be almost like when you get to this a street corner and you push the button, saying I want to cross, like something like that with the app. Like if they get 20 calls for a Magic Kingdom bus, then the next bus that comes will be a Magic Kingdom. I don't know.
Maybe you'll schedule your bus times before your trip even starts through the app. So you get three bus rides a day and you got to schedule them, to make sure.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
As great as the buses are and the convenience they provide, another con that just kind of came to mind is that the cons and pros, or pros and cons, can vary from resort to resort. For instance, if you're at the All-Star Resorts, like we said earlier, those are three full-size resorts that they treat as one, with one bus line. Now, they might have more buses servicing it, but when you get on a bus for All-Star Music, it's also going to All-Star Movies and All-Star Sports. And it goes in that order. Not that order. Not necessarily that order, but it goes to all three. So you stop 1, 2, 3, and they're close together. Even for the deluxe resorts, I have found the deluxe resort buses to be very frustrating because they have the same bus, at least most of the time, that'll go to Grand Floridian and Polynesian. Sometimes those two and Contemporary. And that's a complicated drive up there, getting into the Magic Kingdom, and then they go up there, and you got to turn around and go back there, and turn around and go back there. That was kind of aggravating one time. And the moderate resorts are different in their own regard because they have multiple stops per resort. Deluxe have one per resort. Values have one per resort. The moderates have multiple stops per resort. And sometimes they stop at yours first if you're at a particular place. Sometimes you're last, and sometimes you're somewhere in between. And so it just is what it is when you get there and how many people are on it and how many people are getting off and if you can get off. And
yeah, that's just how it goes. Well, Matt, you mentioned it earlier, so let's talk about the ferry.
Yeah.
Now, in our debate recently, we talked about the ferry and monorail, and we kind of mentioned most of the pros and cons, but what are some of your favorite things about... We can talk about both of those, because they're... Well, they're very similar in the sense that they get you from the Ticket and Transportation Center to Magic Kingdom, but of course the monorail will also take you to those three resorts and to Epcot if you want to go.
Yeah.
But I guess we could just lump them in together since I've mentioned them both. So what are some of your pros for those two things?
For the ferry, the pros are conditional. First time visit, if you're with first time people, I think the ferry is great. If you're not in a hurry to get to the park, it's great to take your time. If it's not crowded when you get there, it's great. If those things are not true, the monorail is faster. Now, listen, the ferry gets a bad rap because it seems like the monorails are faster getting there, and they kind of are. But those ferries, I mean, they're like clockwork all day. If you miss one, the one is there within 5 or 7 minutes. I mean, it's like people get there like, oh, we missed it. But we literally, you'll stand there for 7 minutes. The other one is on its way back. It's that quick. And so it gets a bad rap. But pros of the ferry boat are the view. It's relaxing. You're on the water. You see all the resorts around you. You see the Magic Kingdom. You get that feeling of, like I said in my debate, which was very heartfelt, by the way, you get that feeling of traveling to this distant magical kingdom that you're supposed to be going to, that you don't necessarily get on the monorail. But those are just a few of the pros.
It is very breezy as well. If you need a little breeze on the way over there, it's nice.
And they play Disney music. They play music from the parks and from the films on the ferry that they don't on the monorail.
That is true. It is a unique experience. I'll give you that.
There are some negative things about the boat too. Like I said, it is slower than the monorail. It can be hot if you're, you know, waiting. If you're the first person on the boat and they got to load, it can get a little crowded if it's a busy part of the day. And like I said, if you're really wanting to get to the Magic Kingdom with really not a lot of hassle, the monorail is the way to go, because even if your one car is packed, it's just one car, not a whole boat that people are trying to get on and off of. And in typical Disney fashion, elbowing and pushing their strollers in front of you and all that good stuff. But and on the monorail, no Disney music. And it smells like a wet elephant.
But you do get that classic spiel of Montanganse alejado de las puertas.
De las puertas.
Yeah.
And the monorail is a uniquely Disney experience. You're not going to find it. You can find ferry boats other parts of the world, country, whatever. You're not going to find a monorail experience, at least not.
There's a monorail in Seattle.
Okay, maybe.
This is not the debate, Jeremy. This is not the debate.
I'm just saying the monorail is uniquely Disney. It really is.
And Richard Nixon and Walt Disney. And
Yeah.
You just can't deny it. It is a unique experience.
Every time I go to the Magic Kingdom, being here all the time, going all the time, it's monorail all the way. Let's just get on, get off, get there. With a few weeks ago, we took Dustin and Emily for Dustin's first time. We were an hour ahead of time for the time we could enter the park. So we took the ferry boat, and it was very pleasant. Lots of picture opportunities on the ferry boat you don't get on the monorail.
That is true. I will say, though, the monorail, kind of like the Disney bus, like you said, Jeremy, just one of those classic Disney attractions that once I get on, even if it's crowded, I'm like, oh, I'm on a Disney monorail. But I also think it's great for when you have a reservation at one of those three deluxe resorts nearby, like Ohana, which we rave about all the time. It really is super easy to hop on the monorail, two stops, to the Polynesian, eat your meal, and then come back, and you really don't feel like you've wasted too much park time.
Right.
I have seen a lot of reports lately from regulars that the monorails are breaking down more often than they used to, which is interesting to me.
I don't know about breaking. By breaking down, do they mean stopping, like holding traffic clearance?
No, they mean the people who put you, like, while you're waiting in line, the people who are there kind of guarding the tracks say, oh, sorry, it's not running currently.
Oh, wow.
So
I have noticed a lot more holding for further traffic clearance in the last couple, well, since I've been here. Maybe it's just because I ride them more often than I used to, but it seems like that happens a lot more. But breakdowns, I don't know.
Okay, well, let's move into the parks, and there are two I want to talk about specifically, and the first is in Magic Kingdom, and it's the Railroad. Obviously, classic Disney attraction. Walt Disney was a big fan of trains and railroads, and they put one in Disneyland, and there's also one in Walt Disney World, which I think is down right now. I think it's under refurbishment, and it opens Saturday, maybe, the 23rd. So, Matt, as a Disney fan from years gone by, what's your favorite thing about the Railroad?
It's hard to pinpoint my favorite thing about the Railroad. I do love the Railroad. I haven't ridden it in a while, but I like it. When I first found out about those bootleg like DVDs of people riding the rides in the parks and things, like 10 years ago before YouTube really latched onto that kind of thing, I bought them. And one of the things I watched often was the Walt Disney World Railroad, because it was, you know, the Grand Circle Tour from Main Street all the way around the park, and it has narration. There are some points of nice scenery, but not a lot. So there's not a lot that you could point to and be like, that's really fun or whatever. I guess it's just the charm and the kitschiness of the Railroad and riding around the Magic Kingdom and that one portion of Frontierland where you see the Indian village and some of the little animals and things. That's kind of nice and quaint. But, yeah, it's hard to pinpoint something that's like, I really love the Railroad for this. Oh, and when you ride through Frontierland, that's fun because you actually drive through Splash Mountain. You can see into the finale scene. And then you drive right by one of the scenes from Big Thunder Mountain, the flooded mining town and the guy in the tub and stuff you probably miss when you're riding the ride because you're going so fast, but you can really see it there on the Railroad.
Yeah, I'm going to start with the cons as I talk about it because I don't want to end negatively, but it is hot. Like when you're stopped at one of the train stops and you're waiting for it is just hot. Like there's no getting around it. I just sweat.
And the stop in Storybook Circus is especially long because that's where they actually do refill the steam engine with water.
Oh.
That takes a long time.
I bet.
Yeah.
And there's also, like you said, there's not a lot to see. When in between Frontierland and Storybook Circus is like, I think we've left Magic Kingdom. I don't know where we are.
Yeah, it kind of looks like you're out in the country somewhere, and you go under a couple like cement-looking bridges, and there's nothing to see, nothing to look at. They could have done, I mean, you think Disney, they would have done something a little different, a little better, but...
Well, right before Tomorrowland and Disneyland, you know, you have Primeval World, which is just a classic thing that I think Disney World could really stand to have. But those are the cons. As far as the pros go, I mean, I cannot imagine. Shanghai doesn't even have a railroad, and I cannot imagine that. I cannot imagine a Disney park without a railroad. It's the first attraction you see before you even enter the park. Like when you're Mickey to Mickey, you know, at the front gates, you see that train either pull up or...
Yeah, it's very much part of it. You hear the whistle, you see the steam. It's part of it, yes.
You hear the guy all aboard or whatever he says, now leaving Main Street, whatever. You just feel like you're home when you see it.
It's just part of the integral part of entering the park with the background music playing and the people scurrying around and the flags waving and then the steam billowing and the train moving by. It's
parked there during the welcome show every morning.
Yeah.
I just love that it's there. Now, even if I go a whole trip without riding it, I'm still so glad it's part of the park.
I love the train stations. Main Street, you know, that's the obvious, that's like the big entrance one. It's great, highly themed, you know, with that kind of turn of the century steel structure look on the backside and on the front side, that classic train station look.
The Fantasyland one has a great background loop.
Yeah. Oh, the Storybook Circus one. Yeah, that's great. And it fits in there because around that area, you got the Casey Jr. play area. It's that circus theme. There's a railroad track there. And the whole idea of Storybook Circus is obviously that the circus has come to town on the train, like in Dumbo, so it fits there. And the Frontierland one is also pretty nice. They have a little office there. There's lots of nice little secret hidden things and Morse code stuff coming through the whatever you would call that machine that sends Morse code.
I don't know, telegraph?
Is that right? Maybe.
I don't know.
And it all works there in Frontierland, obviously, very well, too. I do think they could use with another train station. I don't know. They're kind of oddly placed. You got Main Street, then Frontierland, and then not again till Storybook Circus. And maybe not. Maybe they're kind of... It's like a triangle almost, I guess.
Yeah. It's maybe not the most practical way to get from one part of the park to another.
Yeah.
I mean, unless your legs like cannot physically walk anymore...
Yeah,
I would say you're really not going to get from Frontierland to Storybook Circus much quicker than if you just walk through the hub.
Right.
But I could be wrong. Anyway, but it is a must ride at least once, for sure. Yeah. So, okay, well now if we're talking about in the parks, let's move over to Epcot, where there's a form of transportation that I've never personally ridden because they seem a little bit pointless. But I want to know if you've ridden these. And these are the friendship boats on the World Showcase Lagoon.
I have ridden it once. And I think it was because was it with you guys? No, you haven't ever ridden it.
I've never done it.
Never
ridden it. I was with a group of people. It was my family. We were trying to get to a reservation at Japan for the Teppa and Edo. And we didn't have time to walk. So we literally went down and the boat was there. We got on and drove over and it was great. But, yeah, you're right about missing the point. I don't know if it's pointless. It does get you from point A to point B, crossing the lagoon. But kind of the point of World Showcase is walking around it.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't understand why you'd cut through the middle unless you were, I don't know.
And they're not fast by any means.
No.
If it were like a speedboat. But if you were in a hurry, you'd get on and be like, oh, my gosh, pick up the pace.
Yeah.
They are air conditioned, right? I feel like they're enclosed.
I'm trying to picture them.
I think they are. But yeah, you can go from Mexico to Germany or from Canada to Morocco. So I may try it this upcoming trip, but like I said, I don't really see the point. But friendship boats also, I think that's actually the technical name for the boats that take you from Epcot and Hollywood Studios to the Epcot resorts. So Boardwalk, Swan and Dolphin, Beach and Yacht Club, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever taken these either. I mean, they're so close. Like, why wouldn't you just walk?
I've taken the one from Boardwalk. No, it was the Yacht and Beach Club to Hollywood Studios.
Okay, that I can see.
Taking it there was great. Anytime I've ever looked over at that boat station... At the exit of Hollywood Studios, there's an insanely long line. Like at the end of the day, trying to get back to that resort, those resorts. It's a quick walk from Epcot, but from Hollywood Studios, it's about 20 to 25 minute walk. And I've walked that before, and it's not something you want to do at the end of the day. So everybody's getting on those boats. I don't know if they even have buses going from Hollywood Studios to those resorts.
Surely they do.
I don't know. I think it's almost like buses going from the Magic Kingdom to their deluxe resorts. They treat it like that.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe not. Either way, it didn't look pleasant to have to be waiting on those. And they're not ferry boats either. They're small boats.
Right. So. I would kind of like to take the one to Hollywood Studios because you get that great view of the Hollywood Tower Hotel.
Yeah.
Kind of like on the ferry, you get the view of Magic Kingdom coming closer and closer.
Mm-hmm.
But to Epcot, I can't imagine the boats being faster than just walking from Boardwalk to the International Gateway.
Yeah, and that's a pleasant walk. The walk to Hollywood Studios is not pleasant, but the walk to Epcot is quite pleasant.
Yeah. And then the other boats I can think of are the ones that take you from either Port Orleans, Old Key West, or Saratoga Springs, and they'll take you to Disney Springs. We have ridden those.
These I love.
Love.
I love going from Port Orleans Riverside to downtown Disney Springs because, especially at night.
Yes, I was going to say that.
It is just so utterly quiet.
Peaceful.
Mm. Unless your boat driver is, you know, a yakker, then it's like where am I? Where are we?
Listen, I've talked about this little lady that I had as a boat captain one time, and she yapped the whole time, but it was the most charming thing. And yeah, she talked about
there are people who can get away with it.
She yapped about the you know, seeing the raccoons on the, you know, and they even had a bear one time, and it was just sweet. It was really nice. So.
Haven't you said that you want this job, Jeremy?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
I would love to drive any boat at Walt Disney World.
100%. So peaceful, so serene. You get a nice view of the villa, the treehouse villas, which is something I wouldn't see otherwise, probably.
And nobody is ever mad at a boat captain for some reason. They'll yell at all the other cast members, but never the boat captain.
So my favorite boats are the boats that go to the various resorts around Bay Lake and Seven Seas Lagoon. Those are my favorite. And I like the little, I don't even know the different kind of boats, forgive me.
I think those are called water taxis, aren't they?
There's one that's bigger, that part of it's enclosed, and then they have a front portion and the back portion that are open. And those are okay. The ones I really like are the brown ones that have kind of the blue top on them. They're a little smaller and they have little wooden benches on them. I really like those. Those are very nice. And anytime I go to either... I tell people, if you got a reservation at Whispering Canyon and you have the time to spare, you know, at Wilderness Lodge or Artist Point or whatever, you're going out to the Wilderness Lodge or even going out to the campground, Fort Wilderness, go to Magic Kingdom and take the boat, because it is a wonderful experience to go out there. The entrance to the Wilderness Lodge from the boat dock is great. It's like a little winding path of like boardwalks through this dense forest, and then suddenly there's the lodge, and it just completes that whole experience when you take the boat. But even if I eat at Ohana, if I take the monorail there, I always go take the boat back to the Magic Kingdom. It's just a pleasant way to get back.
I think no one's ever mad at the boat captains, because it's impossible to be mad on those boats. Like, I can't think of a single time where I haven't been in heaven just riding one of those boats. I remember Jeremy and I took my parents on it when we had reservations at Kona. All we had to do was go to Grand Floridian, Grand Floridian. We were just going to show them around, which, you know, you can get there really easily on foot. We were like, let's take a boat. You're going to love it. And they did. They were like, I can't believe these are here. This is cool.
Yeah. It's just one of those little added things. It's like, this is so nice.
And the more we talk about it, I totally understand why Disneyland regulars, you know, lose their minds when they come here and they take advantage of all these things. It's just one of the wonderful things about Walt Disney World. Well, we would be remiss if we went a whole episode about transportation and didn't also talk about the fact that you can get to some places on foot. Now, we've learned not to recommend going from the Chicken Transportation Center to the Luau on foot, because it will take you about 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's a long time.
It was a very long walk. If you have a reservation at Contemporary, walk to Magic Kingdom. It's just right there.
That's a great walk. That would almost make me want to stay at Contemporary again, was that walk. I mean, it was like literally 10 to 15 minutes, and you're there.
See, now you know what it's like staying at a Disneyland resort and just walking to the park. It's just something, there's something special about it.
Yeah.
And like you said, the walk from the boardwalk to Epcot, that's a really cool walk to International Gateway.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Let us not also forget one of Matt's favorite walks, which I did not enjoy that much because I thought it was too long, and that is at Caribbean Beach from the room to the food court around the waterway. You enjoyed that, didn't you, Matt, every morning?
Only because they played Jimmy Buffett.
No, every resort. I like staying away from the center because in the morning, I just like getting up and enjoying my resort. If I stayed at the Port Orleans or Caribbean Beach, or Coronado Springs for that matter, and I didn't have an enjoyable scenic walk in the morning, I don't know if I would like the resort that much. It's just part of the experience for me. And maybe that's just because my mom always liked to walk everywhere, and so she enjoyed walking in the morning to the front to get a little breakfast. And so that's just one of those things that's part of the trip for me.
It's all about your mindset. If your mindset is, we're going to be late for an attraction or for a fast pass, you're not going to enjoy it. But if you see the walk as just another part of your vacation, there is something special about it.
I'm just saying, at Caribbean Beach, it was a long walk to the
You are such a whiner. There's not a lot of all the resorts. Port Orleans and Coronado Springs are the longest ones.
Yeah.
To the main thing, Caribbean Beach was nothing.
And then you go and get Derek coffee, and then he's mad at you because you didn't make it right, you know. And...
Well, now you are just changing the subject. I did not attack you.
Derek's not very typically mad at me, so that's a you thing.
No, he's talking about one time when he made me coffee at the hotel, and I was like, I have a specific way I like to make it, which I'm sorry, most people do. Which in that case, I was a butt, but so still.
Yeah.
Well, that does it for another episode. Let's end with Derek being a butt. Great.
Yeah.
But that does it for that was fun to talk about because I do love those things and sometimes I do take them for granted. And it's nice to be reminded of how special they are.
We forgot a big one, and that is the monorail from Magic Kingdom to Epcot. Did we mention that?
I briefly touched on it, but tell us why you love it.
Oh, I think this is the greatest thing. And it does go to the Ticket and Transportation Center, not the Magic Kingdom front gate. But I think it's very convenient if you're trying to go between those two parks, because there's sometimes in the past Magic Kingdom will be open till midnight or 1 o'clock. You can easily, you know, finish Epcot at 9, watch Illuminations, and very quickly get on the monorail, because not a lot of people are going back to the Magic Kingdom after park closing at Epcot, and get and enjoy, you know, a few hours at the Magic Kingdom. Plus, it's just it's a scenic thing, especially if you're driving into Epcot, or taking the monorail into Epcot, because it actually goes into the park, and you get to see Future World East and West, and you get to look out over World Showcase Lagoon before the monorail stops and you get off. So it's like a big preview of the park, and you get kind of the layout before you go in. So, you know.
This is going to sound weird, but I think I've always equated the monorail with Epcot more than I have with Magic Kingdom. And I think it's like that futuristic feel.
Yeah.
But also, I think it's because of Full House, because you see it, like there's the overhead shot of Spaceship Earth, and you see the monorail like pull around it.
Yeah.
Interesting. And of course, we've talked about before about how it goes through Contemporary. That's a different monorail, but I love that.
Yeah.
Have they ever talked about extending the monorail to the other parks?
There have been rumors about that forever. Mm-hmm. How many of them are real, or what Disney actually ever talked about, you know, who knows?
Yeah. Interesting.
I think the fact that they went to Epcot, I think kind of shows that they were going to do that if they planned it for other parks. I just don't think that they ended up doing it for money reasons.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, there you go. Anybody else? We good? Okay. Then that does it for another episode. Except I did want to say one thing. Okay, so Matt and I are going to be at the parks this week. And I think we're going to tentatively say that at some point Friday evening, we're going to get on Periscope. We'll probably tweet it that morning what time, because we're going to be doing it from Jungle Cruise Skipper Canteen thing. And we'll just get on for like 10, 15 minutes and chat with whoever wants to get on there with us, talk about our trip, and maybe show some of the food we're eating, things like that. So if any of you have Periscope, get on Friday evening if you're free, and come talk to us. But like I said, we'll let you know. Anyway, so be sure to follow us on Twitter at Mad Chatters. You can contact us on Facebook. You can send your emails to comments@madchatters.net, and you can find us here every week on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, whatever you listen to us on. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
Bye-bye now. Resort Roundup, talking about hotels. I keep meaning to write the rest of it, but it's not coming to me.
Okay, can I send it over to you, Matt?
Yeah, okay. This week on Resort Roundup.
I haven't sent it over to you yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was the send-off.